A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires.
译文：只有像海洋容纳百川之水，却依然波平浪静那样，不受无尽的欲望支流的干扰，才能心平气和。拼命满足这些欲望的人，永远不会有平静。
Purport: Although the vast ocean is always filled with water, it is always, especially during the rainy season, being filled with much more water.
Can you finish? Because you chat. Okay. 大海总是充满了水，尤其在雨季时水更多，但它依然稳定。
But the ocean remains the same, steady. It is not agitated, nor does it cross beyond the limit of its brink.
Okay, 这就是中文和英文的差别。我再念一遍：大海总是充满了水，尤其在雨季时水更多，但它依然稳定，不受影响，不曾漫溢。
That is also true of a person fixed in Krishna consciousness.
Krishna 意识稳固的人也是这样。
As long as one has the material body.The demands of the body for sense gratification will continue.
只要还有物质躯体，躯体对感官享乐的要求就不会停止。
Devotee, however, is not disturbed by such desires because of his fullness.
但奉献者因为感到完全满足而不受这些欲望的打扰。
Krishna conscious man is not in need of anything.Because the Lord fulfills all his material necessities.
Finish.
I did.
How about the sea?
Huh?
Just like a sea.
I can read the next sentence if you want.
Yeah, please.
Therefore, he is like the ocean, always full in himself.
Yes. 有 Krishna 意识的人不再需要什么，内心就像大海一样永远充实，因为至尊主已经满足了他所有的物质需要。
Desires may come to him like the waters of the rivers that flow into the ocean, but he is steady in his activities, and he is not even slightly disturbed by desires for sense gratification.
欲望可能会像江河入海那样涌向他，但他却能专心致志地从事他的活动，一点都不被追求感官享乐的欲望所打扰。
That is the proof of a Krishna conscious man.One who has lost all inclinations for material sense gratification, although the desires are present.
Yes. 虽然欲望依然存在，但他已经失去了满足物质感官的兴趣。这就是有 Krishna 意识的证明。
Because he remains satisfied in the transcendental loving service of the Lord.He can remain steady like the ocean and therefore enjoy full peace.
他因为满足于为至尊主做超然的爱心服务，并能像大海一样保持稳定，所以可以享有彻底的平静。
Others, however, who want to fulfill desires, even up to the limit of liberation, what to speak of material success,Never attain peace.
其他想满足欲望的人，不用说想追求物质成功的，就连想获得解脱的在内，永远都不会获得平静。
The fruitive workers, the salvationists, and also the yogis who are after mystic powers are all unhappy because of unfulfilled desires.
功利性主义者追求解脱的人和追求神秘力量的瑜伽师都不快乐，因为他们的欲望没有被彻底满足。
But the person in Krishna consciousness is happy in the service of the Lord, and he has no desires to be fulfilled.
但是有 Krishna 意识的人却在为至尊主做服务的过程中感到快乐，不再有其他欲望需要满足。
In fact, he does not even desire liberation from the so-called material bondage.
Finish?
Devotees of Krishna have no material desires, and therefore they are in perfect peace.
Okay. 事实上，他甚至不想从所谓的物质束缚中获得解脱。Krishna 的奉献者没有物质欲望，因此享有完美的平静。
Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unlinitam Nina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Koroti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurunina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pasticha De Sitarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaiti Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This is an important verse from Bhagavad Gita.
这是博迦梵歌里头一节非常重要的诗。
And the reason why it's important because this verse speaks about something that everybody wants.
之所以说它是很重要，因为它实际上在说每个人都想要得到的那个内容。
Peace.
就是平静。
So. There's good reason to want peace.
那当然了，就是要得到平静，这个理由是很，大家都有这样的好的理由。
Because it's our natural state of consciousness.
因为这本来就是我们意识的很自然的一种状态。
Just as we were speaking last night, I think it was last night, that the symptom of life is desire.
就是像我昨天晚上讲课的时候所讲的那个样子，欲望是灵魂的表征，本来它就有的一个特征。
And living being cannot exist without desire.
生物如果没有愿望、没有欲望了的话，它没办法存在下去。
Of course, sometimes people become frustrated.By the fulfillment of the desires.
但是呢，有的时候人们因为就是没有办法实现自己的愿望，因此就感到特别的沮丧。
And because of prolonged frustration by endeavoring to fulfill desires, sometimes people develop the desire to become desireless.
由于人们长期的去追求满足自己的愿望，但是总是满足不了，因此呢，他们就开始慢慢的有一种倾向，就是怎么能够变得没有欲望、无欲。
But even the desire to become desireless is a desire.
但是呢，哪怕是想要变得无欲，也是一种愿望，也是一种欲望。
And therefore, although persons try to become or to eradicate all their interests, personal interests, which caused them suffering in the past, they're not successful.
Okay, 所以呢，尽管人们就是努力的想要去除那些自己曾经有的愿望，而且那些愿望呢导致了他痛苦，他想要去除那种愿望，他怎么努力也没有办法成功。
The constitutional nature of spirit or soul is, as we said, is to desire something.
因为灵魂的原本的状态就是他想要什么，他有愿望。
And that is because we are by nature dependent.
而且呢，由于我们的就是本性，就是我们是有需要依靠。
If we were self-fulfilled, we wouldn't need anything.
如果我们是自己就可以满足自己的话，什么都可以自己去实现的话，那我们就不需要什么东西了。
We would just be happy.
我们就开心就好了。
A person who's self-fulfilled makes no endeavors for anything because he's fully satisfied.
一个自足、 自己内心就已经感到满足的人，他根本不需要向外头去追求什么东西。
But because the very symptom of life is that we have desire.
但是呢，由于我们生命的真相，其中一个就是我们有愿望，有心愿。
Therefore, we make so many efforts to desire things to help us feel more complete.
啊，因此呢，我们就追求，希望能够实现很多我们的愿望。
In other words, when we see something, we think, "Oh yes, that will give me some pleasure and it'll help me to feel more complete."
那换句话说，就是有时候我们看到某一些东西，我们就觉得啊，这个如果得到了，可以让我感到快乐，让我感到我是更完整的。
We want to have a relationship with an object or a relationship with a person. We establish some relationship with the understanding it will help me to feel more complete.
当我们跟什么事物、跟什么人建立关系的时候，实际上是我们有一个希望，就是说跟他有了那个关系以后，就可以让我感到更加的满足，让我感到更加的一个完整。
Because by myself, I feel incomplete.
因为我自己，我感觉到我好像是不完整的。
Something required.
There's too much sun.
Sun, so they should move out of the sun.
你们会觉得有太多太阳照，有打扰你们吗？不会是吗 ？OK, 好。
Especially for those who are embodied, they require so many things to feel complete.
尤其是那些住在一个身体里面的人，他特别的需要有很多的东西，好像让他觉得有一种完整感，他需要实现。
Because the body has so many needs.
因为那个身体，那个物质之躯，它本身就有很多的要求需要。
It's like we came out to a very nice setting today.
啊，就像我们今天来到这样一个美好的大自然里面。
Sometimes being in the city, hearing the traffic, hearing the horns, seeing the concrete everywhere.
有的时候就是我们长期的在城市里头，然后天天的听着那个喇叭啦，就是人声啊，就是嘈杂，是不是很多的噪音
？Breathing the smog.
然后呢，就是老是呼吸进去那种像就是油烟气的那种东西，废气。
It's not very satisfying.
这个东西没有让我们感到我们心里是一种满足的状态。
People undergo those austerities because they have some other reason for being in the city.
人们之所以要在城里头去经历所有这些个苦行，是因为他们有一些原因，他们必须要去经历这些东西。
Usually they're in the city because they need to make money to feel more complete.
啊，就是真正的在城里住的人，主要是为了想要去赚钱，然后让他感觉到自己是更加。
So in order to feel complete by making more money, they sacrifice all these, they undergo all these inconveniences.
由于他们想要通过赚钱让自己感到那个满足完整，结果他们就不得不经历啊所有这些个苦行。
But actually, this very natural setting is also.Very nourishing, helps us to feel more complete.
但实际上，我们可以看到这种大自然的美景，在这样一种自然的环境下，也会让我们感到非常的得到滋养，然后有一种满足，有一种完整的感觉。
Helps us to feel more connected to nature.
而且呢，帮助我们更多的跟大自然能够连接起来。
Because nature is much more natural way. Being in nature is a much more natural way to live than to live in big concrete buildings in the city.
实际上，在大自然里面生活是更加自然的一个状况，比起就是住在城里头那些个水泥的建筑物里面，是一种更自然的状况。
So similarly.Because we are spiritual beings, we have a natural state of life.
同样的道理，由于我们是灵性的生物，因此呢，我们有一种自然的一种状态。
And that natural state of life is to be eternal.
啊，那种自然的生命状态是什么呢？是永恒。
To experience unlimited pleasure.
是要经验到无限的极乐喜乐。
And to be full of knowledge.
然后应该是充满知识的。
We all heard these words, Sat, Chit, and Ananda.
我们大家可能都听过这个梵文叫 Sat, Chit, Ananda 这一句。
This is a natural state of existence for a spiritual being.
这个实际上是灵性的生物原本就有的自然状态。
But being inside a temporary physical body is not natural for the eternal spiritual being.
住在一个短暂的物质之躯里头，对于灵性的生物来说，并不是一个自然的状态。
Because the body is temporary.
因为这个物质之躯是短暂的。
The body grows old, the body dies.
我们的物质之躯，然后就会变老，然后就会死亡。
And our efforts to gratify the demands of the senses also give temporary pleasure.
我们做那么多的努力，就试图要满足这个物质之躯上的这些个感官，但是我们要付出很多。
In Sanskrit, this is called chapala sukha.
那这个经典里头梵文就称为这种状态叫 chapala sukha。
Chapala sukha means flickering happiness.
这个 chapala sukha 的意思就是非常不稳定的闪烁、转瞬即逝的快乐。
The senses come in contact with the objects of the senses, and they give some immediate gratification.
这种我们身体上的感官跟感官的对象进行一种接触，然后带给我们当下的一种快感。
And then the pleasure is experienced, and then there's a need for more.
然后当你体会到这样的一种快感、快乐的感觉的时候，你就又想要的更多。
Because the body cannot provide us permanent pleasure.
因为这个身体这个物质之躯并不能提供给我们永恒的一种快乐。
Therefore, being an eternal living being inside a temporary body is an unnatural state of life.
因此呢，对于一个永恒的生物来说，住在短暂的躯体里头，实际上不是一个自然的状态。
And because it's an unnatural state.If we want to feel more complete, we have to be connected to that which is more natural.
所以说，在一种不自然的状态下，如果我们想要让自己变得更加的让我自己感觉到更加完整的话，我们必须要跟自然的那种事物状态有一个连接。
Srila Prabhupada used to use this very simple example of taking the fish.Outside the water.
圣帕乌巴德经常举一个例子，就是把鱼从水里头把它捞出来。
If you take a fish out of the water, it's not very natural to put it on the land and expect it to live for a long time.
你把一条鱼从水里捞出来，然后就放在地上，不可能期望它能够在那活很长时间。
His natural environment for survival is to be in water.
它的那种能够生存下去的，对它来说的那个自然状态，应该是水里。
Fish feels more complete in water.
鱼在水里头能够感到一种完整圆满的感觉。
But if you take a fish and you put it on the land, you can provide it some temporary relief.
那你把一条鱼捞出来放到就是土地上，你可能用一些个方法让它感受到一点点短暂的，就是一种放松的一个状态。
Give the fish something to drink.
你比如你给鱼喝点东西。
Some food to eat.
给点吃的。
Television to watch.
给他看看电视。
Cigarette to smoke.
给他抽根烟。
But fish needs water.
但是鱼它需要水。
Needs to be in water.
它需要在水里。
So anything that you give to a fish outside the water is not very natural for the fish.
所以说，除了水以外，你给鱼的其他的东西，对它来说都没有办法让它真的感到满足。
Its natural state of existence is inside the water.
在这个水里头才是它真正活着的那种自然状态。
So in the same way, the eternal living being has a natural state of existence.
所以说。同样的道理，这个永恒的生物，它有它存在的那种自然的一种状态。
But as long as we are connected to a temporary physical body, we are going to have to continue in a very unnatural state.
但是只要我们还与这个短暂的物质之躯接触，住在里面的话， 我们所感受到的就是不完美。
It's not that we are advocates of disconnecting ourselves from the body by artificial methods.
啊，我们现在这么说，并不是说我们要给大家宣传一种方法，怎么让自己在一种。
Excuse me. You can welcome to a dinner.
Lunch. After finish our lecture, we will have lunch. Thank you so much.
Okay.
英文。What do we say? I forgot.
Said he's giving us something temporary to satisfy lunch, but we need more.
Yeah, but just say something that translated half, and I forgot what you said. You know.
I forgot what I said too.
Okay. Wait.
So we're both,
we can continue.
We're both in the same state of mind.
Yeah.
Forgetfulness.
我们俩都处在那遗忘的一种状态当中。
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I know you're talking about the fish.
No, I don't. We already went past the fish.
他问他记得不记得，他说你在谈鱼，我他说马尔说我们已经过了谈了鱼的那个状态了。
The point we were making,
yeah,
is that the soul needs something more than temporary matter.
这个重点就是说，灵魂它需要有比这种物短暂的物质之躯更重要的。
What is that natural state of existence for the soul?
啊，那种对于灵魂来说自然的存在状态究竟是什么呢
？That enables him to feel complete.
也就是怎么让他能够感觉到自己是完整的，是圆满的一个状态。
And therefore, we were saying we are not advocates of disconnecting ourselves from the body artificially.
Yeah, yeah. 那我们刚才就说的，我们不是在宣传一种，就是用一种什么人为的方法，然后让我们灵，就是怎么样的去不去关注这个物质躯体，啊，跟它断开关系，没有，不是这样。
Sometimes, unfortunately, uninformed people, they think that.Forcibly disconnecting themselves from the body will bring about a solution.
有的时候有一些个就是没有完整知识人认为，只要让把自己跟自己的那个身体断了关系的话，就可以让自己感到满足了。
Because they foolishly think, yes, I realize life is suffering.
他们就愚蠢地认为自己说啊，现在我已经意识到了生活是痛苦的。
So they think if I don't exist, I won't suffer.
所以他们就想说，只要我不存在了，我就不会痛苦了。
That becomes their desire.
这个把自己变得不存在就成了他们的愿望。
Suffering is so intolerable, but better I don't exist.
他们那个觉得那个痛苦是那么的无法忍受，最好我们就不要再存在下去了。
Therefore, they foolishly desire to not exist, and they think that by giving up the body artificially.That puts an end to all of their problems.
所以他们就想说，只要能够不要再存在了，那就没有痛苦了。因此呢，最好把自己现有的身体把它结束掉，那最终就可以解决一切问题了，就是自杀了，就是解决一切问题了。
But that is not a solution for the eternal spiritual being.
但是这对于一个灵性的生物来说，这并不是一个解决问题的方式。
Because the very basic teaching that.Krishna speaks about when he speaks about spiritual knowledge in Bhagavad Gita is that the soul is eternal.
因为 Krishna 在《博伽梵歌》这一部讲述灵性的基础知识的这部著作里头，他讲的最基本的东西就是我们的一个个体是灵性的灵魂是永恒的。
He says that the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age. The soul similarly passes into another body at death.
他就在一节诗里就说了，正如灵魂在这个身体当中经历童年、青年和老年的变化，同样的道理，当他离开这个躯体以后，他会去到另外一个身体里去。
Dhiras tatra namuyati, one who is self-realized.Doesn't become bewildered by that change.
所以他接着说，真正觉悟了自我的人不会被这种变化所迷惑。
So sometimes someone may think, okay, well, this body, if I'm going to, take another birth, then anything is better than this birth.
那有的人呢，愚蠢的就想说啊，我赶快去再投生，我再投生的，不管是什么状态，一定比现在好。
So therefore, they may artificially try to give up this body to take a better birth.
啊，因此呢，他们就可能会用一种人为的手段，就把这个身体给它毁掉，然后为了得到一个更好的投生的状态。
But however, the soul is eternal, and yes, they take another birth.
但是呢，永灵魂是永恒的，他们逝去，又去投生去了。
But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the living entity carries his different conceptions of life from one body to the next, just as the air carries aromas from one body to the next, from one place to the next.
对，但是真实的情况是什么 ？Krishna 就说了，正如这个风啊，空气携带芳香。把这个芳香从一个地方带到另外一个地方，我们灵魂会带着我们不同的这一生所具有的各种各样的概念，带着这些概念又去投身到另外一个身体。
So whatever conceptions of life we have at the time we give up this body, that determines what our next life will be.
所以说我们在这个身体里头，我们到底去培养了、积累了什么样的那些个概念的话，最后就会决定我们下一生投生会投生到什么身体里去。
These conceptions of life are contained within the subtle body.
这些个对于生命的各种各样的观念、概念，实际上都被储藏在我们的精微的躯体里面。
Every living being who is embodied has both a gross and a subtle body.
每一个生物啊，住在躯体里头的生物都有精微的躯体和粗糙的躯体。
The gross elements are earth, water, fire, air, and ether.
粗糙的躯体是由土、水、火、气、空间构成的。
And the subtle elements, the subtle body consists of mind, intelligence, and false ego.
而精微的躯体是由心、智力和假我构成。
They know this verse.
No, because we have this class. So
oh, I see. Mind, intelligence, and false ego.
Yeah.
These are the subtle elements, which are not gross physical elements.
这些个精微的元素不是像我们什么可见可触碰的那种，它精微的。
We can't see the mind, we can't see the intelligence, but we see it's see it by its symptoms.
我们用我们的这个肉眼是看不到心和智力的，是不是？但是我们是通过他们所表现出来的特征去感知到他们的存在。
So the living being carries his different conceptions of life within the subtle body, and it goes into the next.Gross body.
所以呢，生物它就会带着你这一生所积累下来的所有的对生命的那种概念，把它储存在精微的身体里头，然后把它带到下一个粗糙的身体里去。
But for one who artificially gives up his connection with the gross physical body, he has to stay in a subtle body.
那些个用非自然的手段、人为的手段，把自己的这个粗糙的身体给毁掉的人，他必须要一直保持就在那个精微的身体里头。
That's his punishment by the laws of nature.
他就得不到粗糙的身体了。这个是大自然给这种自杀的人的一种惩罚。
Therefore, in the next life, they don't get another gross body, but they have to stay for some time in a subtle body and have all the desires of a gross body without having the gross body to fulfill them.
因此这些个就是用人为的手段毁掉自己粗糙身体的人，他就会长时间的处在被精微身体束缚的状态当中，然后他的精微的身体里头有所有的欲望和概念，因此他就在这样的状态下，他有欲望，可是却没有粗糙的躯体可以帮助他去实现这些个欲望，他感到特别痛苦。
And therefore, the living beings in these subtle bodies, sometimes they look for gross bodies to try to find pleasure from.
Yeah, 正因为如此，那些个我们说鬼魂那种有精微身体的生物，他就会到处去找一些粗糙的身体，看看能不能进去，然后用人家的这个身体来得到他的一些个快乐，满足他的愿望。
So they foolishly think, yes, I'll give up this body so that I can become happy. Because anything will be better than this body. But they do not, know the laws of material nature. And therefore, they have to suffer.
正因为如此, 他们就必须要接着去受苦。
Yet they foolishly think that I'll become happy because I don't want to suffer like this anymore.
因为他们愚蠢地认为说, 我这么样结束了以后, 我就会变得快乐, 我就不会像我现在这样, 有这个身体, 我那么痛苦了。
So, of course, this is one form of trying to extract oneself from the body. Detach oneself from the body.
所以说这是一种方式, 就是想让自己从这个身体里退出来的一种愚蠢的方式。
Or sometimes people will engage in severe austerities and penances trying to detach themselves from the body.
那另外有一些人呢, 是想通过从事艰巨的苦行, 让自己变得不再依恋这个身体。
If you go to India, you'll see there are many so-called yogis who perform very severe austerities.
如果大家去印度的话, 就可以看到很多那种所谓的瑜伽师, 过的生活是非常非常艰苦的。
They sit and submerge themselves in cold water throughout the winter.
他们会在那种冬天里面让自己坐到冰冷的水里去。
They sit in a circle of fire in the heat of the summer sun.
然后呢,在那个 焦阳似火的夏天的时候，把自己呢就放在一个火圈的中间，就坐在那里头。They
perform very, very severe austerities in an effort to detach themselves from identification with this temporary physical body.
他们之所以从事这么样的一种严酷的苦行，是因为他们想要让自己越来越不依恋他的这个粗糙的躯体，这个躯体。And
they undergo a very troublesome process.
他们所就是用的那种程序是艰难困苦的程序。
And their aspiration is to become liberated.
而他们为什么要这么做? 他们渴望解脱。
They think the goal is, yes, I want to become freed from suffering.
因为他们想说, okay, 我最终的目标是要摆脱所有的痛苦。
And this body is a source of suffering, so if I become free from identification with the body, I will not have to suffer anymore.
所以既然那个躯体是我让我痛苦的, 那我应该怎么样变得再也不会执着依恋这个躯体, 那今后我就不会再�omb苦了。
And even though they may, but through severe austerities and penances, they may actually come to a platform of detachment from the physical body.
这些人尽管他们就是经历了那种非常艰巨 严酷的苦行以后，他们也许就可以上升到不再依恋物质躯体的层面上。And
even if they give up the body in that detached state,
而且呢，在他们最后要离开这个身体以后，那样的一种不执着还保留着那个状态。They
still haven't connected themselves to their natural state of existence.
但是尽管他们不再执着自己的身体了，而且离开身体以后也保持不执着状态，可是他们并没有跟更加自然的那种对灵魂来说自然的状态连接起来，他们并没有这种东西。
Because the natural state of existence for the soul is desire.
因为灵魂的自然的状态是有欲望的。
And they think, let me become completely desireless.
而这些个人呢, 他想的是让我变得完全的无欲，没有欲望的。
But it's unnatural.
可是这个是不自然的状况对灵魂来说。
And the satisfaction that one gets from that unnatural state still is incomplete for satisfying the needs of the soul.
Yeah, logic.
The satisfaction.
Yeah, just because time. 他们想要通过就是变得无欲来使得自己变得满足，变得完整，但是实际上 这个因为不符合灵魂的原本的状态，因此并不能给他们真正的满足和完整的感觉。
Because the soul is eternal.
因为灵魂是永恒的。
And the soul has desires, which is also eternal.
而灵魂呢，它是有欲望的，有愿望的，这种状态也是永恒的。
So because they fail to connect themselves to their natural state of existence,
由于他们没有能够成功的让自己跟灵魂原本的自然状态相结合，
their so-called liberation remains incomplete.
他们得到的所谓的解脱，实际上是一种不完整的解脱。
And in due course of time, they fall from that position.
因此，过了一段时间以后，他们就会从那种所谓的不再依恋的那种解脱的状态下，就又坠落下来。
And have to take another birth again.
然后不得不又去投生去了。
In another human form of life.
然后就又得到一个人的身体。
Because their so-called liberation didn't connect them to the supreme.
因为他们所谓的解脱，并没有让他们跟至尊者联系起来。
In another verse, just before this verse, Krishna says, "One who is not connected to the supreme can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there is no possibility of peace."
那在这个前面的一节诗里头，至尊主就说了，如果一个人他不怀着 Krishna 意识与至尊者相连的话，他就不可能有平静的心和超然的智慧。
And how can there be any happiness without peace?
那他因为没有平静，因为没有这种超然的智慧、稳定的心，所以他就不可能有平静。没有平静，哪里来的快乐？
Therefore, the most natural state of a living being is to be connected to the supreme.
所以说，生物最自然的状态是要跟至尊者相连，联系起来。
Because when one is connected to the supreme, it's not a one-way connection.
因为当人跟至尊者相连的时候，那个不是只有一方面的连接，单方面的连接。
One is actually connected. That means there is reciprocation.
当一个人真正的跟至尊者相连接起来以后，他实际上是有双向的，是互相交流的。
It's like for one who attains the impersonal Brahman. State of consciousness.
正如一个人，如果他比方说，通过练，然后得到解脱，达到一种 Brahman 的一个状态。
He becomes freed from material suffering.
那个达到那个 Brahman 的那个状态的时候，那种解脱，他是摆脱了物质的痛苦。
Because he's detached himself from the material world.
因为他让努力的让自己不再跟这个物质世界的痛苦在认同。
But he's not attached himself to his natural state of life.
可是那种人并没有让自己跟就是去这种人并没有去努力去恢复那个灵魂的原本自然的状态。
And the symptom of life is desire.
而这个生命的表征就是有愿望。
Therefore, rather than to obliterate desire or to negate desire, one who is intelligent, he understands that he wants to establish his connection with the supreme.
所以说，真正的智者啊，他明白。与其就是光是让自己去变得无欲，所谓无欲则刚，还不如应该去跟至尊者发生关系，产生联系。
And what is the benefit of such a connection?
那跟至尊者相连到底有什么好处呢？
Incalculable.
简直是数不胜数的好处。
Cannot be imagined.
没办法想象。
You can only even if you experience like a tiny, tiny drop of it.
我们如果能够品尝到那么一小滴滴的那种感觉
that tiny drop of pleasure that one gets from being connected to the supreme can inundate the whole universe with bliss.
当我们因为跟至尊者相连而品尝到了那么一点点的那种快乐的感觉，我们就会觉得整个是whole universe was
inundate the whole universe. inundate. like a...
Such a...
Overwhelming.
Yeah, okay. 当他如果品尝到跟至尊者相连的那么一点点的那种好处、美好的感觉，他就会感觉到，哇，天哪，我是全天下最快乐的人。他是有这种感觉，这样翻译。
Yes. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness in 1972.
我记得我在1962年刚刚就是跟这个 Krishna 意识接触的时候
，There were not so many books that just translated and published at that time.
那个时候呢，还没有很多的书就被翻译，然后就出版。
And the first publication I got for distributing was a book called Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure.
那当时呢，我所得到的书，而且去向人们派发的那本书叫做 Krishna, 快乐的泉源。
And I was very intrigued by this title.
我对这个名字就觉得非常的受吸引。
Reservoir of Pleasure. Reservoir means like it can provide unlimited supply.
快乐的泉源，泉源的意思是说它可以提供无限量的快乐。
Because when I was a youth in high school, I lived on a street called Reservoir Street.
因为我在那个少年的时候，就上高中的时候，我就住在那个街，就叫做源泉街，泉源街。
And right across the street from my house was a huge reservoir.
而在我住的那个街的那个对面就是。
Reservoir of water.
啊，这样。在我那个街的对面，就是有一个特别。
Pleasure, not a reservoir of pleasure.
说错了。在我住的那个街的对面，就有一个特别特别大的一个湖或者是什么的水体，因为他光说源泉，我说源泉什么东西，后来都是水。对，因为还有快乐的泉源呢，是不是？
I remember speaking to my family and asking them about this reservoir. And they said, yes, it provides water for the whole city and the whole region.
Okay, 估计它是个水库了。就是他就问他的那个父母说，这个到底是什么？那个他的父母就说，这个水库是给整个城市人提供水的，所以叫水库。
And I used to go across the street and look at the reservoir and just never went down.
然后我有的时候就会过到街对面，然后就去看那个水库，就觉得那个水库的水，那个水位从来就没有下降过。
I used to think, how's it possible to provide water for the whole region and the reservoir is like always full?
所以呢，那个时候我就曾经想过，这是怎么可能的事情呢？整个这个水都要提供给整个城市人喝，可是它怎么从来那个水位都没有下降呢？
So I learned what a reservoir is in a young age. From living across the street from one.
所以说呢，我当时在那么在一个少年的一个情那个阶段，我就学习了什么是泉源源泉的那个感觉意思。
And a reservoir provides so much water, and it can keep on providing water.
所以说那个水源呢，它可以。
At least this reservoir did.
Yes.
Not all. Some of them run dry.
他说那个水源，那个水库，它可以提供无限量的水给那些城市人，什么各方城里头的人，但是它永远都不会干枯。他说，当然这是至少是我们家对面那一个，我知道有一些水库就干了。
So when I saw this.Booklet, Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure.
所以当时我看到那个 Krishna 的那本书，那个 Krishna 快乐的泉源那本书。
I immediately could understand that, well, Krishna must have a lot of pleasure to give out. To give out.
我当时就立刻可以能够明白说啊，这个 Krishna 肯定能够给提供无限量的快乐。
And I was very, very attracted by that concept.
所以我对于这样的一个概念，我非常受吸引。
To think that Krishna could give so much pleasure and still have so much more that he could give, and never run low on pleasure.
你光是想到这位 Krishna 可以给那么多那么多的快乐，然后他还有更多的快乐在后头，他那个水位、那个快乐的那个标准从来不降低，光这么想就很开心了。
And that concept was very, very appealing to me.
当时那个那样的一种感觉就让我很开心。
And then, of course, when one becomes attracted, then immediately one thinks, well, how to get it?
啊，所以说一旦受到吸引的话，接下来想的是我怎么能够得到。
If he has so much to give, then what do I have to do to get it?
啊，如果这个人物能够给出那么多东西来，我怎么就得到他？
So, of course, that's a mystery. It cannot be easily understood.
当然了，这是实际上是很一个秘密，一个很神秘的，你不是那么容易就能得到的。
It's a mystery for those who are too materially motivated.
这个对于太物质主义的人来说，那么就是一个秘密。
Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. He explained it right in the very beginning.
Krishna 在博迦梵歌里头的一开始就解释了这一点。
Bhogaishvaya prasaktanam daiha pratachetasam. He says, in the minds of those who are too much attached to sense gratification and opulent life, there could be no resolute determination for devotional service to Krishna.
他就说那些个太受感官享乐的影响。Too much attachment
to sense gratification and opulent life.
哦，对，太受感官享乐的影响，太追求富有生活的人，他没有那种智慧，可以真的可以去要去做奉爱服务，或者说知道做奉爱服务能给他的那个快乐和好处。
So in other words, unless one actually becomes attached to Krishna, it is very difficult to be determined.To serve Krishna.
所以换句话说，除非一个人就是他开始变得依恋 Krishna， 否则的话，如果他太依恋感官享乐、什么赚钱等等，他没有办法下决心去为 Krishna 做服务。
But then you begin to think, well, if that says the same thing again, I have to give up everything in order to get what I want.
哦，那也许人们在这听到以后就说了，哦，你看你又开始说一些个跟别人老调重弹了，意思就是说你要去为了得到一些东西，你必须要放弃一些东西。
And we already discussed the defect in just giving everything up.
我们刚才已经谈过了，只是就是什么就是那种概念，什么都放弃，它是有缺陷的呀。
It can't satisfy just to give up, to renounce, to give things up.
光是就是放弃所有的一切，这个并不能给灵魂带来满足的感觉。
But the way to give up becomes easier when we become attached to Krishna.
但是呢，我们这里说的是什么呢？当你开始变得依恋 Krishna 的时候，你再去放弃其他的那些个。
In other words, Krishna will give that pleasure.
因为换句话说，那个 Krishna 他会给你你要的快乐。
Simply if we have a desire to be connected to him.
唯一的你所需要的做的就是你有那个愿望，想要跟他连接。
That's all that's required.
这个实际上就是唯一需要的。
We don't have to give up desire.
我们实际上不需要变得无欲。
We have to learn how to turn our desires towards Krishna.
我们应该学习怎么把我们的愿望、欲望转向 Krishna。
And when Krishna sees that we're turning our desires towards him,
当 Krishna 看到我们把我们的那个心愿、想要的那个倾向转到他那边去了以后，
then Krishna, who is within the heart of every living being, knows our desires.
那 Krishna 住在每一个生物体心中的 Krishna 就会知道我们心中的愿望。
And Krishna says that from within their heart, I give them.The understanding by which they can come to me.
然后 Krishna 说，住在他心中的我就会给予他指导，让他知道怎么来到我身边。
He says to those who always endeavor to and meditate upon me, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have.
他说，对于那些个一直不断想着我的人，我会把他有的替他保留下来，把他没有的。给予他。
This is what bhakti is.
这个就是奉爱的意思。
Bhakti means One does not try to achieve the perfection of yoga by his efforts alone.
Bhakti, 奉爱，意思就是说，人不需要靠自己孤苦伶仃的一个人的努力去得到那个完美的境界。
He doesn't think that by my own strength, I will become liberated.
他不会去想说我要靠我自己的力量，然后，得到解脱。
By my own intelligence, I will become liberated.
靠我自己的智慧，得到解脱，才智。
No, the bhakta takes shelter of the greater strength.
Krishna 的奉献者，他是依靠更高的这个力量来得到力量，更高的荣耀。
Srila Prabhupada gives a very simple example.
圣帕布帕德就举了一个非常简单的例子。
He says, like a little fish can swim upstream.
就像那个小鱼能够在那个溪流里头能够游泳。
Little fish is taking shelter of the river.
实际上那些个小鱼，它是在托庇于那个河流的那个流动。
But if the river inundates the land, even a huge elephant cannot survive. Even if the river inundates the land, inundates, this word you don't know, inundate. River overwhelms the land, it flows over.
Oh, yeah, okay. So elephant also. Okay.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand. So, 但是呢,
if the elephant gets caught in the waves of a river, the elephant...because the elephant has not taken shelter of the river, cannot survive.
Yeah, okay. 所以说呢，他就我们这么样想，就是在这个大洪水的时候，当洪水淹没所有的土地的时候，就连大象都活不下来，对不对？会被淹死。为什么？因为它并没有托庇于水。可是小鱼却能够活下来，为什么？因为它就是托庇于水，它借助水的力量。
But because the little fish has taken shelter, he can swim even against the current.
所以说那个小鱼，因为它就是借助于水的力量，它托庇于水，因此呢，就是很大的那个水流，它也能够穿过去。
Whereas the huge elephant drowns.
可是大象却淹死了。
In the same way, when we take shelter of Krishna,
同样的道理，当我们托庇于 Krishna, 依靠 Krishna 的时候，
we can deal with the onslaught of the material world.
那么那个时候，物质世界所给予我们的一切艰难困苦，我们就都可以去克服了。
Because Krishna always protects those who depend on him.
因为 Krishna 总是保护那些依靠他的人。
He knows how to protect them, even better than we know how to protect ourselves.
他知道怎么保护我们，比我们自己知道怎么保护我们自己，他知道的还清楚。
And Krishna says that whoever remembers me at the time of giving up this body at once achieves my nature. Of this there's no doubt.
Krishna 就说了，在死亡的时候记住我的人，马上就会达到我的那个自然、那个状态、那个境界，毫无疑问。
Krishna will always protect that person whose consciousness is fixed in remembrance of him.
Krishna 总是去保护那些个全神贯注的想着他的人。
Prabhupada gives another example.
帕帕的举另外一个例子。
Of the kitten who's picked up by the mother. A mitten who's picked up in the mouth of the mother.
Okay. 就是那个小猫仔。妈妈是用嘴巴把它衔起来。
I used to have a cat when I was very young.
他说我小，特别小的时候，我也养猫了。
The cat used to live in the back hallway of my house.
这个猫就住在他们家后面。
And I found this out for myself when I was a very small child.
当我还是个特别小的孩子的时候，我自己就看到这种事情。
My cat had a little litter of kittens in the back hall.
那个他的那个猫就是在他的那个住的那个角落里头，人有小。
And when I saw the kittens, I was so attracted to them. I immediately went and started playing with them.
那我一看那个小猫仔，我就特别受吸引，我就去跟他玩去了。
But the mother didn't like that.
但是他妈不喜欢。
didn't like the fact that I was immediately starting to play with her new kittens.
她妈不喜欢，她立刻就去跟她的小猫仔去玩。
So I watched the mother one by one pick up the kitten with her mouth behind the neck and carry the kitten up into the rafters.
然后她就看到那只母猫就是一个一个的叼着那个小猫仔的那个颈部后面的那个皮，把它们全给弄到房顶上去了。
To protect the kitten from me, so that I wouldn't be able to touch.
这样的话呢，就是可以保护他的小猫仔，不用让他去接触他们。
She had six kittens.
她有六个小猫仔。
One by one, she carried each kitten, picked it up, and she carried it up and put it up in a place I could not reach.
她就是一个接一个的把他们用嘴巴衔着，把他们弄到那个房顶上。这样的话，他毛老师就不需要接触他们。
So Prabhupada gives the example that when a cat picks up her kitten in the mouth, the kitten is thinking, this is my mother, she's giving me shelter.
所以说 Prabhupada 的解释就是说，当母猫用它的嘴叼那个小猫仔的时候，那个小猫仔就想，这是我妈，在保护着我。
There's no fear.
不用害怕。
But the same cat, when she opens her mouth,to the mouse.
但是同样一只猫，如果它对那个老鼠开始张开它的嘴巴了
，The mouse doesn't think, "Oh, this is my mother coming to take me home."
那个老鼠觉得我说，这是我妈来叼我来了，不会这么想。
But it's the same cat.
但是同样一只猫
，Same teeth.
同样的牙
，But a different conception.
但是却两者对他的那个同样事物的感受是不同的。
The mouse has a completely different perspective about this cat's mouth.
所以说那个小猫仔对那个母猫的那个嘴和另外一个母猫的嘴感受是完全不一样。
So Prabhupada explains that the kitten is like the devotee.
所以呢，啪啪的就解释说，这个我们。Krishna 的奉献者就像那些小猫仔一样。
Because when a devotee gives up his body, he just thinks, "So, my mother, my protector is coming to take me."
所以说，当奉献者、信奉者在他们离开他们的身体的时候，他们想着 Krishna， 他就想说啊，我的这个保护者要来带我走了。
The kitten has taken full shelter of the mother.
那个小猫仔是完全依靠它的母亲的保护的。
Whereas the mouse doesn't take same shelter.
但是那个老鼠不是这个样子。
When the cat comes, the mouse runs in fear. Oh no, this is the end.
所以说，当那个老鼠看到那个猫朝它走过来的时候，它就需要。非常恐惧的，他要逃跑，因为就说：“哎呦，天哪！我这今天就是我的命中的一天到来了。”
So the mouse is compared to the person who has never taken shelter of Krishna.
那么那些个老鼠呢，会比喻为就是那些个永远都不脱贫于 Krishna 的人，他们的心态就像老鼠的心态。
Never made any effort to establish this connection with Krishna.
他们从来都不会为了和 Krishna 重新建立关系，去稍微做出一些努力。
Therefore, the bhakta is one who doesn't try to overcome this material world by his own efforts.
所以说 ，Krishna 的奉献者 ，Krishna 的信奉者，从来都不会就是试图仅仅靠自己的力量来克服物质世界的那些困难。
And therefore, the bhakta always gets help from within.
正因为他们没有这样的一种就是什么都靠自己要去做的这个心态，因此他总是会得到。至尊主的帮助。
And when you have help from the Supreme,
那你得到至尊者的帮助的话
，then you can very easily overcome Maya.
你就会很轻易的可以克服错觉能量的。
Because the Supreme is the controller of Maya.
因为至尊者他也是错觉能量的控制者。
When the Supreme Lord says to Maya, the illusory energy, Maya, leave her alone.
当至尊者跟他的错觉能量说，错觉能量叫玛雅，玛雅，不要再打扰他了。
She belongs to me now.
他现在属于我了。
Then easily we can become free from the influence of Maya.
那我们就会 一下子很容易的就会摆脱错觉能量的影响。
Because the supreme means the controller of the illusory energy.
因为至尊者他是控那个玛雅错觉能量，也是受至尊者的控。
What if we try to overcome this illusory energy by our own efforts?
但是如果我们试图用我们自己个人的努力，想要去克服这个错觉能量的影响的话
，Maya is simply too strong.
那玛雅。因为是他的能量，他太强
了。And Maya always give us more and more allurements to attract us to her service.
那玛雅就会给我们越来越多的那些个诱饵，让我们去为他做服务。
Therefore, Krishna says, "Daivya shaguna mayi, mama maya duratiya." This divine nature of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome.
正因为如此，奎士呢在《薄伽梵歌》里就告诉我们说：“我这由物质、自然三种属性啊组成的这个能量是难以克服的。”
But if you surrender to me, you can very easily cross beyond it.
但是如果你投靠我，你就能够非常容易的去克服它。
I'll end with just one more small story Prabhupada told.
那我呢，就是会给大家再讲一个帕帕德讲的那个故事，把它作为今天的结束。
He told the story about when he was a householder.
他就讲一个故事，他是一个居士的时候。
And he was riding on the train with one of his sons.
Right,
on the train.
Okay. 他有一次带着他的小儿子就坐火车。
And his son was very young at the time.
那个时候他那儿子特别小。
Prabhupada didn't say how old he was, just that he was a young, very small boy.
帕帕当时没说他儿子有多小，但是就是说是特别小。
And the conductor, after the train left the station, the conductor came up to the son and asked him, "Where's your ticket?"
啊，那当这个火车就驶离了那个站台以后，那个列车员就来了，就来问说，哎，你的那个车票在哪？
And the boy said,A ticket? I don't have a ticket.
那小男孩说，票我没票。
And the conductor was playing a game with a trick.
然后那个列车长呢，列车员就开始去跟逗他，逗这个小孩。
So with a very serious look on his face, he said, "You don't have a ticket?"
啊，然后他就装出一副很严厉的样子说，你没票。
And the son said, "No."
儿子说我没有。
The conductor said, "Get off the train."
那你下车。
And the train was already moving.
那个车已经在开着了。
And the boy took him very seriously.
那就是这个孩子就把他说的就是很看得很认真，他就。
And he became very scared.
然后他就特别的害怕。
But then, all of a sudden, he realized that he was standing next to his father.
然后突然一下，他就突然想起来了，我就站在我爸的身边呢。
And he turned to the conductor.And all his fear went away.
然后他这个时候，当他想起这个时候，他所有的恐惧就没了。他就转向那个列车员。
And he said to the conductor, "Oh, he's my father."
然后他说，哦，他是我爸。
All anxiety gone.
所有的焦虑都没了。
As soon as he remembered, "He's my father," felt completely protected.
他一旦想到他是我爸的时候，他。马上就感到是完全被保护的状态。
The Prabhupada says this is a devotee.
所以他怕说这个就是 Krishna 的奉献者。
The devotee is one who always seeks protection of Krishna.
啊 ，Krishna 的奉献者、信奉者总是在寻求 Krishna 的保护。
And then all fear goes away.
那所有的恐惧就都会离开。
Just as there's no fear in the kitten when the mother comes to carry her.
这个就像是小猫仔。当他母亲来叼他的时候，他根本就不害怕。
The devotee becomes fearless in this material world.
而这个奉献者在这个物质世界里头，因为投靠 Krishna， 变得毫无畏惧。
And because he always feels the constant protection of Krishna.
因为他总是感受到就是很坚信跟 Krishna 的这种连接。
And it's not that he has to wait to the end of this life to feel that protection.
啊，他并不是说他非得等到就是临终前死的时候才感受那种保护。
That is the beauty of bhakti.
啊，他实际上这一生一直他就能感受到这种保护。这个就是。
Why doesn't he have to wait for?
这就是奉爱之美。
To test it at death.
啊，他不需要等到死的时候才去经历这样的一种检测。
One can experience it during this life.
他可以在这一生当中。当下就可以感受。
How does he experience it?
他怎么能够感受得到呢？经历到呢？
This verse explains how we experience it.
这节诗就做了解释了。
He experiences it because he sees that the degree he becomes attached to Krishna, to that degree he becomes detached from this material world.
也就是说，他对 Krishna 的依恋越深，他对这个物质世界的执着就越轻越浅。
He's full, just like the ocean.
它就像海洋一样的，是满足的，是足的，充满了的。
And even though so many rivers enter into the ocean doesn't remain still.
这个时候，无论是多少的江河湖流流进大海，由于它本身是自足满足的，它一直它就是感觉到就是满足的状态。
In the same way, it's just so many desires may enter in to this body.Mind.
同样的道理，尽管我们这个身体，我们的心里头会有各种各样的欲望。
The devotee is one who's full with Krishna.
但是呢，奉献者因为他是跟 Krishna 在一起的，因此他总是感到是一种满足的状态。
Therefore, does not become disturbed by these desires.
他就不会被这些个欲望所打扰。
That can be experienced in this life.
这个在这一生就可以体验到。
That is Krishna's protection.
这个就是 Krishna 给我们的。
One doesn't have to wait to death to test Krishna to see if he keeps his word.
我们为什么一定要等到死的那个时候，等死的时候看看 Krishna 他是不是说话算数，在保护我们
？Why can experience it right in this life?
为什么我们不要现在？在当下就开始去体验。
But as we said in the beginning, it will always remain a mystery to non-devotees.
但是呢，这正如我从一开始就讲的似的，对于非奉献者，对于物质主义者来说，这样的一个事实总是对他来说是保持一种神秘的状态，不可理解的状态。
Those who have no devotion will never be able to understand.
那些个没有奉爱之情的人，永远都不会了解这个事实。
Because Krishna will not reveal it to them.
因为 Krishna 不会向他们揭示他。
He only reveals it to those who are endeavoring to please him.
他只会向那些个为了让他高兴而做出努力的人去揭示他自己。
So it's our great fortune that.We have these opportunities to hear about these things.
所以说，我们能够有机会聆听所有这些信息，是我们的幸运。
And that Krishna's dear devotee Srila Prabhupada made all of this available to us.
而 Krishna 的亲爱的奉献者圣帕布帕德，把这一切使成为可能，让我们能够有机会。
And he's ready to share it with anyone.
而他。
Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, 圣帕帕德他准备跟任何一个人去分享这样的一种美好的知识。
All he asks is that you chant Hare Krishna.
他唯一要求的就是吟诵吟唱 Hare Krishna mantra.
And share it with others.
然后去跟其他人分享。
And your life will become perfect.
然后你的生命就会变得完美。
In this life.
在这一生就会变得完美。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Nirjana Maharaj Ki Jai.